You're listening to the audio podcast of the weekly message preached at Central United Methodist Church in Arlington, Virginia. You're invited to worship with us in person on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. or virtually through Zoom or Facebook on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Visit us at www.cumcballston.org. There you can learn more about our congregation and how we worship God, serve others, and embrace all.
Our scripture reading is from the Common English Bible this morning. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God's with him." And Jesus answered him, "I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it is not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things. I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't believe him is already judged, because they don't believe in the name of God's only son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people love darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done in God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeannie, for reading our scripture this morning. So I was recently reminiscing about the musicals that I was part of while growing up. My home church had a stage in the basement, and at some point they procured a spotlight because they did so many plays. You could use that spotlight to shine a bright white light, or you could choose between three different color gels to make the lighting scene a little more interesting. It was a very strong light to shine from the back of the room all the way to the front on the stage. And you could either use it alone and the rest of the stage lights be dark, and that would focus just on the feature player, or you could have all the lights on the stage and those colored lights could simply enhance what was happening on the stage. It could draw attention to the main part of a scene, but it didn't disrupt your view of everything else that was happening. This morning, the scripture that Jeannie just read from us from John chapter 3 reminded me of that power of that spotlight. You see, for those of us who are familiar with scripture, when we hear that chapter read, it's very easy to let the spotlight of our attention go straight to John 3:16. Who knows that one? That's right, "For God so loved the world." It is a powerful verse. There's a reason why many of us know it. There's a reason why some like to use the John 3:16 sign and hold it up at sporting events or put it on their cars. But we need to shine the light upon the entire passage and allow the spotlight of grace to enhance the whole story and not steal our attention to just one verse. Because if we do that, we miss the powerful encounter that has happened between Jesus and Nicodemus. First, we need a little bit more context about these people. The way Nicodemus is often portrayed is that he's a member of this existing establishment who just doesn't understand what Jesus is doing. We know from this gospel reading that Nicodemus is a rabbi and a Pharisee. So he was someone well educated in the law, the religious law. He observed and even taught the law to others. More than that, though, Nicodemus was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, one of the judges that would decide matters of the law. They would actually take up appeals from lower courts. So in some ways, it functioned as a religious supreme court. So that is who Nicodemus is who comes to Jesus. But then we also need to pay attention to when this conversation is happening. It happens at night. Now, throughout the entire Gospel of John, the power of light and darkness is important. But the fact that this conversation is happening at night might also tell us something about Nicodemus. Now, some will try to paint Nicodemus as a bad guy, and so he came at night because he didn't want anyone else to see him. But I think it doesn't mean he's a bad guy. I think he was aware of the risks of him as a member of the Sanhedrin going to Jesus to ask matters of the law. It was very dangerous for him. He would have had many responsibilities as well. And maybe even if it wasn't as dangerous as I think it might have been, he maybe simply was terribly busy and it was only at night. Or maybe there was a sense of desperation that drove him out of his home at night to go and seek the one who he thought would have answers. He's a man desperate to know the truth of God in this world. He's devoted so much of his life to learning the law and understanding it, and now here is a teacher who can help him. And so he goes to Jesus and calls him rabbi, teacher. He's looking to gain knowledge. He's looking to be enlightened. He wants to understand something that he believes Jesus can help him to know. The Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor suggests that while Nicodemus came to be enlightened by Jesus, that's actually not Jesus' purpose. Instead, she writes, Jesus has come to endarken him so that he loses all confidence in his ability to master the subject matter, all ability to achieve anything, and instead to drive him into the arms of God's Spirit. Nicodemus wants a faith that can be understood. Nicodemus wants Jesus to help him understand his faith. But Jesus doesn't give him the simple answer that he sought. Jesus does not turn on the light bulb of understanding for Nicodemus. Instead, he challenges him, pushes his understanding even more. And that is a gift not only for him, it is for us. Because indeed, an infinite God that can be understood by finite brains is not one worthy of worship. To be born again, as Jesus says, or to be born above, as another translation says, is to become like an infant, is to give up everything that you think you know about the world and the way it works. Nicodemus was an elite Pharisee. He was a leader, and he thought he understood how God works. But Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, the Spirit blows where God chooses. You don't know where the wind comes from or where it is going. You don't know, Nicodemus. To be born again is to become like a child in need, to have someone who loves you and helps you grow in love. To be born again is to give up the power of knowledge, thinking we can understand the one who created the earth, the one who created us. Nicodemus came at night. He came seeking the light and the answers. And instead of a light bulb, he gets more questions. How can this happen? Well, to quote civil rights activist Valerie Kier, perhaps the darkness is not the darkness of a tomb, but the darkness of a womb. Jesus is changing Nicodemus's understanding of how everything in the world works by challenging him to think about what it means to be born again. Jesus is describing God here in a way that is like a birthing mother, one who will never let go of you no matter how far you stray. For you carry part of God's own heart in this world. So perhaps the darkness of this story is more like the darkness of a womb, to be born again, to be born from above. But this is confusing for us who understand how birth works and how you can only be born physically once. But Jesus is challenging us to think about how we can be born again in our spirits. Jesus gives Nicodemus the opposite of what he wants. Nicodemus wants a simple answer, and Jesus challenges his understanding of how all of this works. In so many ways, we want faith to be if, then. If you follow these rules, you are righteous. If you pray this prayer, you get a ticket to heaven. That's what humans want. A simple God who can be understood, but that is not the God we worship. Our God is so much bigger and deeper than all of that. The Reverend Nadi Boltz-Weber described learning that God is not an if-then proposition, but instead she writes, God is a because-therefore proposition. Because God loved the whole world, therefore God comes to us in Christ so that there would be no confusion on the matter. Because God loves the world, therefore we are free to do the same and love the world. Because God loves the world and God creates faith in us, therefore we are free to believe in this God. In other words, belief is not what we offer God in exchange for God's love. Belief is created in us by the Holy Spirit when we have an encounter with the Word of God, the Word made flesh in Jesus, the Word lifted up on the cross for us, the Word we encounter when we break bread and share in the cup, the Word we encounter when the Word is proclaimed in worship, the Word we encounter when we serve others, the Word that is alive and well in this world. So God has claimed us as God's children to be born not just once physically, but to be born again, to be born anew, to be born in a way that is free to believe because God so loved the world. And in this season of Lent, when many of us add in new spiritual disciplines or practices to prepare our hearts and lives for Good Friday and Easter, it is a good reminder that no amount of giving up sweets, no amount of good works, no amount of belief is what earns our way into heaven. It is because God loves the world. Therefore, God came and was human. God ate with sinners and bureaucrats. God died an innocent death and was lifted up on a cross so that the spotlight of grace may shine for all the world to see. Because God loved the world, therefore we can love the world. For we are God's beloved children, and we can trust in this God who welcomes us, whether we come in the middle of the night with our heartfelt and desperate questions, or we seek the God in the morning of the new day, or we gather in worship, seeking God's truth and love and grace. This is the incredible spotlight of grace that we have in our lives today. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Permission to reprint, podcast, and/or stream the music in this service obtained from One License with License A724547. All rights reserved.